teaching. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 17. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Abhyase Manasa Shudham. Vivrid Brahmaksharam Param Mano Yachet Chitosvaso Brahma Bijam Vismaran. After sitting in the above manner, make the mind remember the three transcendental letters, Om, and by regulating the breathing process, control the mind so as not to forget the transcendental seed. Purport. Omkara, or the pranava, is the seed of transcendental realization, and it is composed of the three transcendental letters, Om. By its chanting by the mind in conjunction with the breathing process, which is transcendental but mechanical way of getting into trance as devised by the experience of great mystics, one is able to bring the mind, which is materially absorbed, under control. This is the way of changing the habit of the mind. The mind is not to be killed. Mind or desire cannot be stopped. But to develop a desire to function for spiritual realization, the quality of the engagement by the mind has to be changed. The mind is the pivot of the active sense organs, and as such, if the quality of thinking, feeling, and willing is changed, naturally, the quality of actions by the instrumental senses will also change. Omkara is the seed of all transcendental sound, and it is the only transcendental sound which can bring about the desired change of the mind and senses. Even a mentally deranged man can be cured by treatment of transcendental sound. In the Bhagavad Gita, the pranava, Omkara, has been accepted as the direct literal representation of the Supreme Absolute Truth. One who is not able to chant directly the holy name of the Lord, as recommended above, can easily chant the pranava Omkara. This Omkara is a note of address, such as, O my Lord, just as Om Hari Om means, O my Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we have explained before, the Lord's holy name is identical with the Lord himself. So also is Omkar. But persons who are unable to realize the transcendental personal form or name of the Lord on account of their imperfect senses, in other words, the neophytes, are trained to the practice of self-realization by the mechanical process of regulating the breathing function and simultaneously repeating the pranava Omkar within the mind. As we have several times expressed, since the transcendental name, form, attributes, pastimes, etc. of the personality of Godhead are impossible to understand with the present material senses, it is necessary that through the mind, the center of sensual activities, such transcendental realization be set into motion. The devotees directly fix their minds on the person of the Absolute Truth. But one who is unable to accommodate such personal features of the Absolute is disciplined in impersonality to train the mind to make further progress. Om Gyanati Manandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudevor Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we give brief summary, this the different people different days, or some people come regularly, but not all days. So, of course, this is really being narrated at Naimisharanya Sita Goswami to the sages of Naimisharanya. And he is explaining the history of the Srimad Bhagavatam in reference to the questions by the sages of Naimisharanya. It was asked all the way back in the fourth chapter of the first canto. Tell me about Vyas, tell me about Marge Brickett, and tell me about Sukadeva Goswami. So in the point of the description of the history of the speakers, when it gets to the point of Marge Prickett's death, then the history goes into Sukadeva Goswami's arrival. That was also one of the questions. Tell me about Sukadeva Goswami. Then, in narrating the history of the Bhagavatam, or these, in other words, the history of the Bhagavatam is the history of its speakers and hearers. So he's just telling the story of Maharaj Prickett, his whole life, and then he gets up to his death, and then how that Sukadeva Goswami appeared. So at the end of the first canto, the history goes to the point where Maharaj Prickett, gets cursed, and he goes to the bank of the Ganges or the Jamuna, and then he asks the question, and then Sukadeva Goswami, all the great sages gather, and then Sukadeva Goswami appears. And it becomes obvious just from his, physical symptoms, it becomes obvious that he should be the one to answer the questions of Maharaj Prickett. Obviously, apparently at that time there wasn't a real opinion how to guide him and advise him. So then Sukadeva Goswami came and he asked the question, there's so many duties, pick the completely perfect duty, the shudyam. The pure duty, the completely perfect duty. And what should I chant, hear, worship, remember, what should I not do? So then the second canto begins with Sukadeva Goswami, his answer to that question. And the answer to that question is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Beautiful descriptions of Sukadeva Goswami we discussed in the first canto. He was sitting very, very completely pacified, with extreme intelligence, and with an open heart without hesitancy, ready to speak. Perfect sage. Very, very peaceful, very acute, sharp intelligence, a very open heart without hesitancy to answer any question. And then it becomes apparent, because Sukadeva Goswami is so enlivened by the question itself. Prabhupada discusses this in the purport, that Maharaj Prickett is, he's a devotee, so when he asks a generic question, what should I chant here in worship, and what should I not do, the meaning of a question depends on who's asking that question, and because he's such a great devotee, it's obvious that he's asking about devotional service, and about Krishna. And he wants, the details, the techniques, the abhideya tattva on how this should proceed. And therefore, Sukadeva Goswami responds to the question by just glorifying the question, which indicates the glory of Krishna Katha, that it's the supreme subject matter that is approved by those who really want to know about the truth. And it can do the greatest welfare for all sorts of men. And then he goes into a description of, to highlight how important Krishna Katha is. Basically, his just response to the question gives the answer about what a man should chant here at worship and remember. But to highlight the importance of chanting about Krishna as the prime subject matter, the real duty of a man who's about to die, he describes what others do who are materially attached, griheshu, griha medinam, apashyam atma tattva, who are blind to the truth because they're materialists, what they do. Shrotavyadini Rajendra, Shanti Sahasra. There are Sahasra. There are thousands of things they have to discuss, except Atma Tattva. And if they waste their time, economic development, maintaining family during the day, night, sex life, completely blind to the absolute truth, thinking that this situation they're in is eternal and that they're protected by the army of their family, their society, their wife, which are asatsu, which are unreal, because they're not actually the family, the wife, they're not the eternal position of the living entity, it's not as real, but he's feeling protected. And therefore, because it's such a bewildered condition when you don't chant and hear about Krishna, therefore the conclusion is that if you want to become abhayam, you want to become free from fear and death, then chant, hear, remember, and worship Krishna, Bhagavan Ishvara Hari. And this is Anti Narayana Smriti. This is the end goal of life, that the consciousness should be remembering Krishna. This is the whole goal of human life. This is the whole duty of the human being. This is what you should be doing. And then he goes on to clear up misconceptions. This is not material. Because the topmost transcendentalists, those who have nothing to do with this material world, they are ramante, taking great pleasure in Krishna Katha. They have no attraction to the material world, but they're attracted to Krishna Katha. I myself was such a transcendentalist, and I also learned it from my father. And that very Srimad Bhagavatam, that very Srimad Bhagavatam, I am going to explain to you. Why? Because you're a very sincere person. Because you actually want the truth. You actually want to serve Krishna. And therefore you're willing to take this knowledge into your life, incorporate it into your life, and make whatever changes necessary that this knowledge dictates. Whether it turns your life upside down or backwards, or whether it takes away something that's cherished or adds something that is apparently not liked, you're sincere. You want to be Krishna's devotee, and therefore you want to live in the conception of the absolute truth. And therefore you're a sincere person, and therefore I'm going to give this knowledge to you, and one who hears this knowledge and accepts this knowledge, then he develops Mukunde Matirsati, unflinching faith in Krishna. And also you should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord. We discussed this, if you weren't here, the relationship, that to chant properly, you have to hear Krishna's pastimes and have transcendental knowledge. You can't come to the platform of pure chanting without some bandhagyan, without understanding Krishna. So pure chanting entails understanding Krishna, and understanding Krishna entails pure chanting. Or to understand the Bhagavatam, you have to chant the holy name, because the holy name reveals Krishna's qualities, reveals Krishna's form, reveals Krishna's pastimes. So these two activities must be accompany each other. And then, psychologically understanding Maharaj Prickett and understanding that Maharaj Prickett may feel discouraged because of the time, the short time he has to live. He may think that, okay, what is the use? How much advancement can you make in such a short time? You maybe can discuss 7 days left to live. What is the use? Then he describes this, and he describes muhurtam. Better a muhurtam, 48 minutes, a moment of full consciousness, than a time wasted, inexperienced, and bewildered in this world. And look what Maharaj Katvanga did with a muhurta. How he was fixed on his prime duty so that at the end of life, when he got this boom, you can have anything you want, and he asked for knowledge of when he's going to die, which is practically the greatest boon. He took it. And he achieved perfection. Don't become discouraged. And then the part that we're up to now is very interesting. He explained. He explained that now your life is limited to 7 days. So you should prepare yourself. And preparing yourself means hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. But there are some favorable conditions that you should cultivate. And we're in that section now. Even though you have 7 days, there's some favorable conditions that you have to cultivate. First, you have to leave the home and cut off all desires that are connected to the material body. Let me explain this. It was a pretty, I think, interesting concept of when someone stays in a place for a while, he organizes an environment to nourish his material desires and to bolster the misconceptions that he's attached to and give him pleasure and confidence. So many years, 25 years in the home, you know, trying to situate and organizing, you're in an environment that's just suited for you because of your own likes and attachments to nourish those attachments and desires and likes. The desires that keep you in this world are you organize your environment according to your attachments. So unless you get out of that environment, it's very difficult to be self-realized. And this is actually the purpose of sannyas. Not to create another environment where you nourish your desires and attachments. This is the purpose of sannyas. And really, generally, why a sannyasi, he can be a kshatriya sannyasi, but then, you know, you should live like these residents of Braj you sometimes see in a little kutir with nothing around. Well, you should travel. Because when you travel, ideally when you travel, there's not enough time to organize your environments, your attachments, and your material desires. Not enough time. Yeah, so therefore, this is what a sannyasi should do. Pretty heavy instructions. So Prabhupada, some of his most brilliant purports you should read about how we should give up the desires for family. Must have a chance for better desires, otherwise no chance of giving up such morbid desires. So he describes, and then, yes, yesterday's verse also, we, Grihat, having gone out of the home. Now this is after you've gone out of the home. Dira, self-control. The Prabhupada said specifically celibate. It's not that you go to Vrindavan and retire and leave family life and then get married again. Or associate with the opposite sex. So you gotta go to the holy place and vidivat. You gotta live according to the rules, the regulations. And you should have an asana, a place for meditation. All these things are favorable. And again, Prabhupada discusses about vanashram. And one must take warning of the, at the age of 50, of death. He must take warning at that age that the material situation is temporary because obviously it's deteriorating. You should take the warning and therefore you should prepare, and there's a system that's von ashram. And this holy place is all around the world meant with residential purposes for retired persons getting ready for a better next life. Persons must go there at the end of their life and for that matter after 50 years. To live a life of spiritual regeneration for the sake of being freed from family attachment, which is considered to be the shackle of material life. One is recommended to quit home just to get rid of material attachment. Because one who sticks to family life until death cannot get rid of material attachment. One should, however, not become self-complacent simply by leaving home. and by creating another home at the holy place, either lawfully or unlawfully. And then Prabhupada discusses how this happens. So this is the method. You should have a duly sanctified place of straw, deerskin, and carpet, and thus sit on it. One should chant the holy name without offense. The whole process is to drag the mind from material engagements and fix it on the lotus feet of the Lord. This simple process alone will help one advance to the highest stage of spiritual success. So these are the conditions he's describing. Mostly he's just going to hear Krishna Katha, but he's hearing about the favorable conditions. Otherwise, chanting and hearing and trying to perfect yourself in the wrong environment would be very, very difficult. I saw this in Jayapur. I know one royal family. And I sometimes visit them, and the great-grandmother is in the home. She's 90 years old, and they have a place in Vrindavan. And they're trying to tell her to go to Vrindavan, but she stays there. And she gets so worried about the grandchildren and what will happen and what these people will do and what, you know, so you can see that she has to leave home with these desires, these attachments that keep one bound to the illusion of material existence are there. So now it's a progression. Now what do you do next? Now you're sitting. So after sitting in the above body, manasa, the mind. You have to make the mind remember shudham brahmakshara, the sacred syllables om. Padam. And jita swasa, regulating the breath, mana yachet, getting the mind under the control so not to forget the bijam, the Brahma bijam, this om, so not to forget the transcendental sound. You have to focus the mind on the transcendental sound. So therefore there's sitting properly in the right place, the pranayam, so not to forget that the transcendental sound purifies the consciousness like nothing else can purify the consciousness. It changes the aspirations and desires like nothing else can change the aspirations and the desires. Sound vibration is the most absorbing thing for the consciousness. We have to absorb our mind in transcendental, absorb the mind in transcendental sound vibration. Absorb the mind in transcendental sound vibration. So Prabhupada discusses this Brahma Bijam, this Om. we can read a little. We read already. Om, or the Pranava. Pranava. I think if you take the words Pranava, it kind of something like means not of this or something. Once heard some speaking like this. Na, va, this. Something not of this. Something. Not of pra, matter. Something like that. It means something like not of matter. The pranava means not of matter. It's God's name, but in an indirect way. But it's still God's name, but in an indirect way. By its chanting by the mind in conjunction with the breathing process, It's a transcendental mechanical way of getting to trance, as devised by experienced mystics. One is able to bring the mind, which is material, absorbed, under control. This is the way of changing the habit of the mind. The mind is not to be killed. Mind or desire cannot be stopped. But to develop a desire to function for spiritual realization, the quality of the engagement by the mind has to be changed. The mind is the pivot of this active sense organs. As such, the quality of thinking, feeling, and willing is changed. Not naturally, the quality of actions by the instrumental senses also change. So Bhagavad Gita says, mind is the friend of the living entity, and be the friend of the enemy. Because the nature of the mind, Prabhupada said, is to take dictation. So if the mind takes dictation from the material senses and the body, then the conception of ahankara, that I am the controller, I am the doer. Because the impulses of the body are dictating on the basis, I am the controller, I am the doer. That becomes solidified. But if the mind is controlled, because the mind has to take dictation, then automatically the mind will start to take dictation from the super soul, which is giving instructions that you're the servant of Krishna and you should go back to Godhead. So the whole pivot is the mind, focusing the mind. So by focusing the mind on transcendental sound, then automatically the spiritual desires will manifest. And this is described in Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhakti Yoga section. In the Bhakti Yoga section of Bhagavad Gita, which is beginning the 7th chapter, Mayasakta Mano Partha Yogam Yunjan Manasaya Asamsayam Samagrama Yatagyasyasi Tatra. Just here. So the Bhakti Yoga process means Tatrinu, just here. How by full consciousness in me. So you hear means you have to put your consciousness on Krishna, then mind attached to me. So by putting the consciousness on Krishna, then the mind will become attached to Krishna. And then everything else will happen. You'll become detached, free from misconceptions. So this is the process of Bhakti Yoga. So we have to absorb the mind in transcendental sound vibration. And that will automatically give an attachment for Krishna. And the reason we're in the material world is because we don't want to be devotees. So the cause is we don't want to serve Krishna, we don't want to be his devotees. So if we can change the, rectify that desire that caused our coming to this world, then we become liberated. We are not in the spiritual world simply because our desire is not congruous with our position. And because our desire is not congruous with what we are, because we don't want what we are, we want something else, therefore to satisfy the desire, Krishna has to put us in illusion. And that's the attachment to the body in the material world. So it's all based on not wanting what we are. So if we can cultivate the desire for Krishna, a desire to be Krishna's devotee, then Krishna will withdraw the illusion. He'll withdraw the material energy, which is his energy. Daivesha gunamayi mama maya dadatya mameviye papadyante mayame tam tanantate. It's his energy. And it's only following our desire to be something we're not. It's only his energy to put us under illusion to satisfy us. Because we don't want what we are, which is devotees of Krishna. So if we can just change the desire, then automatically we become liberated. And the best way to change the desire is to absorb the mind in transcendental sound vibration. But because coming to this material world, the desire is also combined with envy. Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata. There's icha and there's dvesha. Because we have that desire, there's also envy. And therefore, when we want to get out of the material world out of frustration or some type of knowledge, it is very, very difficult to accept the personality of Godhead because of our envy. So therefore, there is some impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth to help us transcend. Now this Om is Krishna's name, but it's not personal. Prabhupada said that in the purport. The Omkar is a note of address such as O my Lord, just as Om Hari Om means, O my Lord, the personality of Godhead. Such a generic term, but it refers to God. Of course, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it also refers to Radha and Krishna if it's understood more deeply. So it's identical to Krishna. So by focusing the mind on Omkar, then we become purified. Prabhupada said, the devotees directly fix their minds on the person of the Absolute Truth. But one who is unable to accommodate such personal features of the Absolute is disciplined and impersonal. If the progress is, he has to become detached. Prabhupada also says, the non-devotees, this is a future purport, cannot think of the personal feature of the Lord because of their poor fundamental knowledge. the personal form of the Lord like Rama or Krishna is completely revolting to them. It's actually revolting. But they still have some desire for self-realization. So this pranava, you're purifying the mind by chanting Om. Purifying the mind. So then he's going to describe what happens by this and what one has to do. Niyachet vishabhyo kshan manasa buddhi sarati mana karma bir akshiptam subarte dareye dia. Gradually, as the mind becomes progressively spiritualized, withdraw it from the sense activities, and by intelligence, the senses will be controlled. The mind to absorb the material activities can be engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead and become fixed in full transcendental consciousness. So you gotta withdraw the senses as the mind becomes spiritualized by this. You get the inspiration from the spiritual absorption, then you have to become detached. Our process is not detachment, but we have to become detached. This is also the process of bhakti yoga. It's, you know, we just say, we'll automatically become detached, but the inspiration will come, but you have to have the sincerity to take it and give it up. But like Bhakti Siddhanta gave the example of the boat and the wedding party, and they rode all night, and in the morning when they woke up, they complained, "We missed the wedding, the boat's still here." And he said, "No, I was rowing all night, but then someone saw you forgot to pull up the anchor." So you have to practice Krishna consciousness, but you got to make the effort to also pull up the anchor. You have to give up things. And gradually, as you become, consciousness becomes spiritualized, you have to be sincere to give up the attachment that's preventing you from going to the next step. And at every step, you have to do that. And if you don't do that, you're not going to advance that much. Every step, there's something. Everyone, go in your heart right now, quickly, and see what's the next thing Krishna actually wants you to give up. Are you holding on to it? If you want to go to the next stage, you got it. And it's not the same for everyone, depending on how purified you become and what's your spiritual evolution. You got to give it up. You got to be sincere. And that's in the Bhagavatam previously, it says, when they describe how to realize tattva, it says, tatshadayana munayo jnanavairagya yuktaya pashyantyatmani chakmanam bhakta shutabhitaya. The seriously inquisitive sage, jnanavairagya yuktaya, well equipped with detachment and knowledge. You have to have detachment and knowledge. It comes from bhakti, but when it comes, you gotta do something with it. Bhurijan said, without detachment, without knowledge, you don't know what to do. Without detachment, you can't do it. You gotta do it. So gradually as the mind becomes spiritualized, you gotta withdraw it from the sense objects by the dint of the mind. But it's into the mind, you gotta withdraw it from the sense objects. And then it says, buddhi, sarati. That buddhi or intelligence is the driver. So you also have to fix up your intelligence. Your intelligence has to be applied to the practice of chanting. That's the difference between pure chanting and not, is that you have the right conception and ideas and aspirations. So you have to chant with the right desires or aspirations. Otherwise, we can be chanting in Mayavadi conception. So the intelligence also has to be applied to the spiritual process. You can see the intelligence has to be fixed. So it's very nice, it describes the process. The mind, mana karma be, akshiptam, too absorbed in fruitive work. Fruitive karma be means that material consciousness. Not, I'm the servant of Krishna, but I'm the enjoyer. Too absorbed in that consciousness can be engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead and come to transcendental full consciousness. So on this, Prabhupada says here, Sukadeva Goswami, well, he describes how difficult this yogic type process is. And he gives the example of Vishwamitra Muni, who was at the stage of samadhi, and he became a victim of the senses and fell down to illicit sex life. He was at samadhi. So this kind of process of withdrawing the mind from the senses, you know, intelligent, it's a little difficult. He said, this mind that's absorbed in this, by absorbing itself in Krishna consciousness and purified. Now, Prabhupada describes what happened to Vishwamitra Muni, and we know this story. He was in the Pushkar Lake, and he was meditating for 60,000 years. And he was really at a very high stage, because pratyahara means that you, any sense impressions that come, you just, like you have like an army up and they just can't get in. That's pratyahara. You're just throwing out whatever comes into the, and you're so fixed in that peacefulness of that concentrated thought on the self. It's a certain enjoyment and peacefulness. You're very satisfied there in Brahman realization. He was very powerful like that. And then, the ankle bells of Menaka. You know, so he's trying to keep it out. But Prabhupada describes what happened. The mind, although ceasing to think of sensual activities at present, remembers past sensual activities from the subconscious status and thus disturbs one from 100% engagement and realization. So externally, he was fighting it off. But internally, he still had some impurities from the past, some desires. So kind of, you know, the bell, he kind of got it out of the consciousness, but the bell went off internally. Some things from the subconscious began to arise, and then he became deviated. The mind becoming spiritually cleansed at once, should once engage himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord by the different activities of hearing and chanting. So this is what it's meant. You can have these favorable conditions, but it's not the process in itself. Immediately you have to focus the mind on Krishna. Keep on focusing the mind on Krishna. And then he describes,
Tatraika vayavandhyaya avyuchinena chetasa mano nirvishayan yukva tadakanch kinchana nasmaret padam tat paramam vishnur mano yatra pasidati.
Thereafter, you should meditate when your mind has become spiritualized, your senses are controlled, your aspirations are increasing. You should begin meditation. This is also in the process of Krishna consciousness. You should begin meditation. Therefore, you should meditate upon the limbs of Vishnu one after another without being deviated from the conception of the complete body. Thus, the mind becomes free from all sense objects. There should be no other thing to be thought upon, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is the ultimate truth. The mind becomes completely reconciled in him only. So ultimately, only within Vishnu will the mind become reconciled. There'll be no doubts. There'll be complete satisfaction. Only when you come to the point of Vishnu meditation. And Prabhupada explains that, therefore, thinking of Vishnu or meditating upon the transcendental form of Vishnu specifically is the last word on the subject of meditation. It's the ultimate goal. It's the last word. Therefore, there's no place else to go once you get to Vishnu. Prabhupada also means Vishnu means Krishna. And, so this is the process. And we can see the meditation. It said, beginning from Pranava, Prabhupada said, up to the limbs of Vishnu. So this worship is there. This worship is there, and it's done systematically. And then Prabhupada also talks about, this is the purpose of the temples. The purpose of the temples is to give us a chance to meditate on Krishna. This is actually the purpose of the temples. Beginning from the, it said the Vishnu forms of worship in India are not arrangements of idol worship. They are different spiritual centers of meditation on the transcendental limbs of the body of Vishnu. So the worshipful deity in the temple of Vishnu is identical with Vishnu by the Lord's inconceivable potency. Therefore, a neophyte's concentration and meditation upon the limbs of Vishnu in the temple, as contemplated in the revealed scriptures, is an easy opportunity for meditation for persons who are unable to sit down tightly at one place and concentrate upon pranava, omkara, or the limbs of the body of Vishnu, as recommended by Sukadeva Goswami. The common man can benefit more by meditating on the form of Vishnu in the temple than on Omkara, the spiritual combination of letters. There's no difference. Okay, but the later process is more difficult than the former. The Prabhupada always makes it practical. Anyway, then he promotes this process. One's mind is always agitated by the passionate mode of material nature and bewildered by the ignorant mode of nature. We see that. Passion, just like chanting, there's distraction and there's sleep. Distraction is passion, sleep is ignorance. The mind is always agitated by these two things when you're trying to take the spiritual life. It's like a lethargy to do it, and then there's a distraction. But these conceptions can be rectified by Vishnu, he explains. So he's recommending this. It can be rectified by this conception of seeing Vishnu, Dharanaya. The mind can be pacified and become purified by this conception. And he explains further. These verses I'll go over in detail tomorrow because the class is almost over. O King, by this system of remembrance and by being fixed in the habit of seeing the all-good personal conception of the Lord, one could very soon attain devotional service to the Lord under direct shelter. So by this system of seeing things in relationship to Vishnu, what is that? This is going to be a description of the universal form. It's seeing the material world in relationship to God. So by this system of remembrance and by being fixed in the habit of seeing God everywhere, one, it says bhakti lakshanam, one will get the symptoms of devotional service and very soon attain Krishna's shelter. So this is why it's called the first step in God realization. Because it's for impersonal and materialistic men. Materialistic men and impersonalist. Materialistic men, because if they're to become situated in their constitutional position, which is a servant of Krishna, they're going to have to appreciate that God is superior to invoke service. And because their standard is matter, they can only see it in terms of God being the creator and being everything. So therefore, those people are materialistic, they worship matter, greatness. Therefore, they start to see the divinity of the world. The powerful things in the world inspire their servitude, inspire them to become a servant of God. They start meditating on the world in this way. At the same time, for the impersonalist, it helps them to become devotional because they start to see the world in a personal way. So this Virat Rupa conception of God, which is a process of meditation, it takes the impersonalist and materialist and makes them devotees. So this is described here. Okay. Are there any questions? James? You've been listening to this Sankhya?
It seems like such an emphasis here and being able to only purify the consciousness so much that it could actually be withdrawn from the object. And that was my question yesterday. I was trying to see, because other processes of the meditation say that too. I'm sure a lot of devotees have practiced before the meditation comes to you. You're trying to get that reach of your heart. And I was reading in the third canto in one purport, Prabhupada says that smarnam is, in our tradition, is that at least related to dhyan in the ashtanga yoga. It's not just thinking of Krishna, but actually dhyan being beyond pratyahara. Real smarnam or remembrance is actually not having mundane sense perception, actually having perception transcendentally. So I'm sitting there chanting, like, thinking, how am I going to be able to get to the point of my withdrawing all sensual activity and actually get this smarnam? And I guess just give to me, feel kind of free from it.
And meditating on the deity.
Meditating on the deity too, but I guess you can't do that when there's so many people, like an art teacher, you don't see, and you get hit in the face or something.
Well, getting knocked in the back, you get hit in the nose.
James, I don't, did you notice that I go to the temple at 10 o'clock, but no one's there? You should mark these things. Okay. Anything else for today?